All right, so let's continue. So we left off, we're still in Perek Chav Beis. In the red edition, we left off on page Resh Lamed Beis. So remember again, the Ramchal was discussing the idea that one of the ways in which we go ahead and we have Anava is through being able to hear degradation, through being able to hear, again, certain negativity and yet not respond. The middle one is open, and not respond to that negativity, and that's what he writes over here. Hane elavin ve'inon ulvin shomin cher pasan ve'inon mashivin. That those who go ahead and are degraded and do not respond in kind, they hear their degradation and they do not. They find the strength not to respond. So aleim akosiv omer ve'ahavav kitzeis hashemesh bigvuraso. Because we'll see, here's what's amazing: when a person essentially is offended, or a person is spoken to in a not nice way. So really what's happened over here is that my ego has been bruised. That's really what's happened. My ego has been bruised. So if my ego has been bruised, it's almost like, bless you, an instinctive reaction to go ahead and reinstate my ego in place. So the Ramchal says, just recognize that that's a form of hubris, that's a form of arrogance. And therefore, again, one who is truly humble says that even if he's been mistreated, and even if his ego has been abused a little bit, bless you, you know what? It's okay. It's not okay. I'm not looking for it. I'm not enjoying it. But I'm sure enough of myself. I don't have to go ahead and actively reinstate my ego by going ahead and responding. That's an incredible display of humility. V'sipru. So Ramchal shares what's truly amazing. And this, by the way, is exceptionally important, because sometimes, I just had a situation like this yesterday where someone was just so, not from the shul, it's from a different shul. Someone was just so, like, ridiculously crazy and out of line. So my first reaction was to respond. And I said, oh, because it's not right. You know, I have to teach a person. And I realized, if I'm honest with myself, it's because he offended me. This is not about, like, Kavanah Torah teaching someone. This is Shmuel Silber's ego. And the truth is, if we're honest, the problem is often we just don't think about it. But if you think it through, it's pretty amazing how often we go ahead and we react in certain ways just because it's the ego that's driving us. And therefore, says Ramchal, one of the greatest displays of humility is when a person goes ahead and is offended, a person is mistreated, and yet they don't respond. That at the end of the day is something that indicates a true level of acquired humility. See, it tells an amazing story. V'sipro migodo anvaso shel Bava ben Buta. So it says, you can imagine, the Gemara is filled with stories of incredible humility. So one of these stories was Bava ben Buta. So what did Bava, what happened with Bava ben Buta? V'zel shonam. We saw this in Nedarim. Hahu bar Bavel, the salik la'aradi Yisrael, nasiv isisa. There was a guy from Bavel who went to Eretz Yisrael and he married a girl from Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so what happens? Our Lord said to her, Bashili li tre talfi. So he said to her, if you don't mind, you know, she's a newlywed couple, she wants to make him happy. So what happens? So what can I make you for dinner? So he says, can you make for me two talfi? Talfi. Talfi in Aramaic is animal's feet. Like, so can you make me two animal's feet? Bashelala tre talfechei. She cooked him two lentils. So what you see over here is there's just a difference in the way they spoke in Eretz Yisrael and in Bavel. See, he says two talfi, could I have two animal legs? She makes him two lentils. He got very upset. Now, the reason he got upset was because, again, he felt that she was purposely not complying with what he asked. L'machar amala bashili li gariva. The next day he said to her, do you mind making me a griva? So we'll say, if you look in the footnote, so griva is not a type of food, but rather a measure. Can you make me a meal? Can you make me a meal? What happened? Bashela le griva. So she went ahead and she cooked for him. She cooked for him, her understanding of griva, which was a very large measure. So in Bavel, griva meant a meal's worth. In Eretz Yisrael, the griva meant a very large amount. So he asked her for a meal, and she cooks this overabundance of food. So again, he gets upset. Amarla, zil aisili tre butzini. See, he asked her, can you bring me two gourds or two melons? Sa'azlas va'aisila tre shragi. She brought him two lanterns. Now we'll say again, these are all just different dialects that they're speaking. These words just meant one thing in Eretz Yisrael and one thing in Bavel. So he's asking her for two gourds or for two melons, and she brings him two lanterns. Amrla, so he loses it. Amrla, zili tabriyason aresha de Bava. So literally he goes and he tells her, I don't want these lanterns. Go and break them. Resha de Bava, bless you, literally means on the threshold of the home. Go break, meaning go smash them outside. I don't want these lanterns. Supposed to say, so she's a little bit of a literalist. Hava Yasiv Bava ben Buta Vida in Dina. Bava ben Buta, the great Tana, was sitting and he was adjudicating a case in Beis Din. Azlas Utevaras Yason Areshe. Can you imagine this? This woman shows up in Beis Din and she smashes the lanterns on the head of Bava ben Buta. Right? Because after all, again, her husband said, Zil Tabiri Yason Areshe de Bava. Go ahead and literally, so the way she understood that was, go ahead and smash this on the head of Bava. Who's Bava? Who's the greatest Bava we know? Bava ben Buta. So listen to this. So I was like, can you imagine this scene? So Amar La, so Bava ben Buta sitting in Vazin. Some lady just walks in and smashes lanterns over his head. So he says to her, Amar La, Ma Dein Davart, excuse me, ma'am, right? What's going on over here? Right? Why did you just come in and smash lanterns on my head? Amra Le, Kach Tzivani Bailey. She said, this is what my husband told me to do. This story is amazing on many levels. Right? But, you know, this is what my husband, she's trying to make her husband happy. You know, I messed up the previous two times. This is what my husband told me to do. So listen to this. Amar, Bava ben Buta said, At asit ritzon ba'alich, you went ahead and you did the will of your husband. Hamakom yotzi mimech shnei banim ke Bava ben Buta. The Ribono Sholem should give you two great children who are as great as Bava ben Buta. So amazingly enough, remember, what's the point of this story? The point of this story is the humility of Bava ben Buta. That Bava ben Buta would have been absolutely in his right to get upset at this lady. And even though she said that she's listening to her husband, so what? What does that have to do with anything? You don't come in, you don't smell. But again, he understood. This Gemara is amazing on two levels. It's number one, amazing because, again, of the exceptional humility of Bava ben Buta. That's number one. Also, it tells you again, actually, the context of the Gemara is the lengths also to which one must go to preserve Shalom Bayis. And not just your own Shalom Bayis, but someone else's Shalom Bayis. Because remember, had Bava ben Buta gotten upset at this lady, not only would it have been scathing for her, but again, it would have caused, I mean, had the husband heard, can you imagine, had this husband heard what his wife had done, the embarrassment, the humiliation, and the incredible rupture to their Shalom Bayis that would have caused, could have been irreparable. Therefore again, Lemaisa, he chose not to go ahead and say anything about it. But again, the point that the Ramchal is bringing out over here is that Lemaisa, you see the incredible humility of Bava ben Buta. You see again, I would say, what it all comes down to is keeping one's ego in check. Because Bava ben Buta, as an individual, could have been offended. But what Bava ben Buta does is he puts his own ego on the side and instead tries to look at the circumstances, as they say, big adol, in a grand panoramic fashion. And this is what Ramchal keeps on driving at. The greatest obstacle, ultimately, to humility is ego. Is ego, because when the ego is bruised, when the ego is damaged, people do all kinds of crazy things. If one is able to control the ego, better stated, if one is able to set aside the ego, that becomes the pathway to anava. So this, again, this perhaps, you understand now why we're spending so much time on humility, almost more than all the other midos, because this is the hardest thing. Because as I said yesterday, man is inherently, naturally, and innately egocentric. That's just the way we are. And again, there are certain positives towards that. There are certain ways you can marshal that koach. But that's why the greatest avoda in life is to change that orientation of egocentricity, to put the ego on the side, and that paves the way for humility. He gives other examples. V'hilal, kimokin sipro, mirov an vanuso, an visanuso b'masecha Shabbos. So too, the Gemara talks about the incredible humility of Hillel in Masechet Shabbos. V'zul Shonam, this is their wording. Tanur Rabbanan li olam yehe adam an vasan ki Hillel. A person should always be humble like Hillel. So what Ramchal is referring to over here, if you remember again, is that incredible story in Masechet Shabbos. So let me tell you. So I'll tell you this outside. So this is the case in the Gemara where there are two. Hillel was known for his mild mannered demeanor. So there were two individuals that made a bet about who could go ahead and get Hillel angry. So one of the guys said, okay, I can do it. And they bet a sizable amount of money. So let's say, if you can imagine this scene. So this guy shows up to Hillel's house an hour before Shabbos. Right, Hillel's going ahead and taking a bath. He's actually washing his hair. The Gemara says, the guy comes to the window. Mikan Hillel, Mikan Hillel. Is Hillel here? Is Hillel here? Hillel comes running out because, again, who's calling? You know, who's coming an hour before Shabbos, you know, to go with must be something significant. So I'm sorry?
Nothing.
Right? So it's, you know, it's like, I remember I was once at a rabbinic convention and there was an older seasoned Rav who told me that if somebody calls after 11 o'clock, he says, Baruch Dayan Emes. He says, you know, why are you calling after 11 o'clock? So why are you coming an hour before Shabbos? Why are you coming an hour before Shabbos? So he says, Hillel, I have a very important question. Do you have time? Hillel says, of course. He tells him to sit down. He says, again, why is it? And he starts going through all these different questions. Why is it the people, well, first he asks one question. Why is it that the people from Africa have flat feet? Hillel says, oh, excellent question. He says, because they live in swamps and because of the swamp. Fine. Thank you very much. Guy leaves, comes back 15 minutes later. Again, Hillel's still trying to wash his hair. Hillel, very important question. Hillel says, yes, come sit down. Same thing. Why do the people from Bavel have rounded heads? So again, Hillel says, oh, excellent question, because they don't have skilled midwives. So the midwives don't know how to deliver the babies without shaping the skull in a strange way. Fine, excellent question. This happens over and over and over again until the guy, meaning the questioner, the petitioner, the nudnik, loses his patience. And he says, this is ridiculous, right? I'm going to lose 400 zuz because of you. So Hillel says, what? What are you talking about? Then the guy divulges that really this whole thing was a bet. So interestingly enough, so the Gemara says, Hillel says an amazing thing. Hillel says, it's ra'i to you to lose hundreds upon hundreds of zuz, and for Hillel not to lose his temper. He'll say, so first of all, again, all of these things are tied together, because they're both saying, the mid of kas, you know, there are some people that are, as they say, noach lichos, they get angry very easily. So what happens if a person loses their temper, flies off the handle very easily? That's indicative of gaiva. That's gaiva, meaning a person who has a bad temper, at the end of the day, that's arrogance. The reason why that's arrogance is because if something upsets me, if I don't like something, if something doesn't sit well with my ego, I'm going to react. So that's anger and arrogance are sisters. They're two sides of the same coin. And therefore, again, the Gemara is saying over here, Hillel understood, life is not about me. Yes, is this an inconvenience? It's an incredible inconvenience. He'll have to get ready for Shabbos also. But yet, again, he made the active decision to put his own ego on the side and to maintain a sense almost of equilibrium, in this case, vis-a-vis the other. One more example. Rabbi Avo, Acharov an Vanaso, Matzah Sha'adayin lo higia lios roili kari onav. So amazing enough, Rabbi Avo, despite all of his incredible humility, he says, he felt he was still not fit to be called someone who's truly humble. V'zeh l'shonam, Amar Rabbi Avo, Meresh hava amina an v'sana ana. Kevan de Chazina le Rabbi Abba de Akko de Amar Iyu Chataima, va Amar Amori Chataima, va Lav Kapid, Amina Lav An Vesana Ana. So also, this is amazing. So Rabbi Avo said, I used to think that I was humble. I was saying, obviously, that sounds strange to us, right? I have really mastered the Midah of humility. Right? So what he's saying over here is a person should know who they are. Now, he was saying, I really worked a lot on my humility and I thought I was humble until I saw Rabbi Abba of Akko. Because Rabbi Abba of Akko, if I was to listen to this, see, he would be giving the shir, and apparently he had an Amora. Amora is like the spokesperson. He had an Amora who was a real nudnik. And what would this Amora do? So the job of an Amora was the Tana would say over the teaching. The Amora, but often, this is what's amazing, the Tana often was not a great orator. Tana didn't have to be a great orator. That wasn't why he was great. It wasn't because of his oratory ability. It was because of his knowledge. But sometimes, again, the Tana would say things on a very high and complex level. The job of the Amora was to take that Tanaic teaching and to go ahead and distill it and repackage it in a way that was intellectually consumable by the masses. So Rabbi Abba of Akko has this Amora, who Rabbi Abba says a certain idea, the Amora says, no, I don't like that. And he goes in and retells over his own idea. And yet, Rabbi Abba of Akko didn't get upset. So Rabbi Abba said, I always thought that I had humility. I always thought I was humble. But yet at the end, after I saw Rabbi Abba of Akko, I realized that I had not yet even begun to master the midah of humility. All right, so we'll stop over here. Again, we'll pick up in Meretz Hashem more with the humility tomorrow.
That's frozen. He knew he was great. Humility.